Welcome to worship this evening. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we gather together tonight, we ask, Lord, that you might calm our hearts and our minds. Allow us to hear your word. Allow us to be guided and directed into your path. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. Today's scripture is coming from John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in a vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. during this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer, intention, or other understanding between you and God. You are also invited to come to the prayer bench to receive prayer and anointing for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give an offering, you are welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, receive communion, or exit the worship center. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. How's everyone doing tonight? So a couple months ago, I had the chance to visit this church that was, it was raving with like young adults, and it was pretty exciting to see all these 20-year-olds worshiping God. And I sat in front of this kid, and the preacher, man, he was getting really, really deep. And it made me shout amen. And I'm not afraid to shout the preacher down. But the kid behind me, he just shouts, whoa, this Bible crazy. And it made me laugh. I thought it was funny. And I thought, this kid is cute. He's learning about God, you know. And my second thought was, what a heck of an expression to have for God. You see, I measured that kid's faith based upon his response. He could have heard that story a million times, but he's still in awe by what God has done. Like, seriously, have any of us ever responded to God's word like that? Or have we heard it enough that we just say, oh, I know this story? Do we hear God's voice and actually go about it, or are we just used to hearing it to the point we just let it phase away? Which made me wonder, are we abiding? Am I abiding in the Lord? Are we centered in the love of Christ? Do we obey? Is our life a reflection of who God is? Are we listening to God? The definition of abiding is of a feeling or memory lasting a long time, enduring, to remain, to await. One description just said obey. And if I had to take two of the words for myself that keeps me in remembrance of what it is, I would just say remain and obey. Remain in his love, obey his command. And I feel like I've once identified with Peter. We were, at staff meetings, we were stuck on Peter for a while, and we was just breaking down some of the things Peter has done. And I've had moments where I feel like I identify with Peter, where I follow Christ to the cross, but I don't want anyone else to see me. Peter followed Christ to the cross, but he was hiding the entire time. And we could make the case that Peter was scared for his life. But what about the time Peter refused to eat with the Gentiles? And it was like pretty much just to fit in. And I don't want to live my life like that. When Peter denied Christ three times, what happened after that? Yeah, he cried, he repented, but in a sense, he started abiding. See, Peter knew he messed up and he wanted to get closer. You see, Peter messed up. We often abide out of sequence. When something isn't right, we start chasing after God. But how about we just live in his love, no matter if things are good or bad? We await, we remain, and obey. And I feel like I'm attacking Peter a lot, and I feel like he's gonna confront me one day. But I've had my moments, some tough moments where I knew I wasn't abiding. And I give you an example. I had this friend, and I'm just gonna say his name was Tony. And he was a pretty tough guy. He was one of those guys that everyone liked, but they were kind of scared of him. But me and Tony, we had this different kind of relationship. He would tell me how he really felt, that he hate, that he felt like he had to keep up this particular image because that's what people expected of him. He used to tell me about how his mother was on drugs and the lifestyle he lived, and he just thought that's how he had to live. He didn't think he could be a new person. And I had this feeling one time I was talking to Tony that I should share the gospel with him. But I was in my early 20s, and I'm not making any excuses, but I was in my early 20s. I was scared of how stupid I would sound and how stupid I would look talking about God. And for about a week, God kept putting this guy on my heart. And I got to the point where I kind of shut God out, and I just forced myself not to do it. So about 6 months after, I dreamed of this guy. And in the dream, he hugged me and said, "I'm gone." And I instantly woke up. That dream, it really bothered me. And I was like, "I'm gone. What does that mean?" And I told myself, okay, today is the day I'm going to find this guy and I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to share the gospel with him. But I just keep thinking about that dream. And something just told me to Google his name. And I Googled his name and it sent me to Fox 8 News and the title read, "Dead at 28. And this guy has lost his life. Now, I don't know the difference I would have had on this person or the outcome to the situation, but the thought, what if I was obedient, is what bothers me. I know I'm not the Messiah, but I don't want to miss opportunities like that because I'm caught up in my own life. I'm not living for Christ, but living for myself. In a sense, it's kind of like saying I was selfish with my salvation. And we tell ourselves that we can't because we're going to offend someone or because of the external differences that we don't even try. They don't, in a sense, it's like we're saying they don't get a chance because of our insecurities. It took something like that to draw me near, to know I wasn't abiding. Because often we abide out of sequence. One time I was having a conversation with a friend, and they said, "I can't stand talking to my boss because no matter what we're talking about, somehow he always ends up talking about God." And I remember thinking, I wish I could remain a God like that. That's what I want. Sometimes we consider ourselves as seasoned Christians and we get comfortable, we lose our thirst, and we stop listening to God. We stop talking about God, and then we start acting like Peter with one foot in and one foot out. We reach this point where we feel like we arrived, we reach the cap space. But I read a scripture like Psalm 63, and it sits me down in my arrogance. I'm going to read Psalm 63. And it says, "O God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." This is Psalm 63. This passage is coming from David. Someone we would look at and just says, we would say he has it, but he's still thirsty. Like when I read that, I just see the thirst. And it just made me ask, why is he so thirsty? And the answer is simple. There's always more God to be had. There's no point of arrival. So I wanna challenge everyone. I know we don't usually take notes here, but like even if you got to listen to the podcast later, to ask this question: what stirs your affection? I have many things that stir my affection, but one of the things that keeps me thirsty is thinking about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying that the cup will pass. And thinking about myself having too much pride, being scared to spread the gospel because someone might call me stupid or dumb, not praying for someone because I'm scared, I'm scared they'll say no and think I'm weird. But Jesus is in the garden, waiting to go to the cross, waiting for people to spit on him. Like, what if Jesus could have stopped praying and said, guys, wake up, because some of the disciples had fell asleep. What if he said, guys, wake up, I changed my mind. I don't feel like being spat on this week. So seriously, take that question and figure out what it is that stir you up to remain in God, where you're spreading hope, providing fresh faith and real love. No matter how seasoned you are, you can read his word and spread the gospel with a new expression, just like that kid, and go, whoa, this Bible crazy.
Jesus called us to abide in him, to remain in his love, stay obedient to his commands. Jesus showed us what a life with God was like when he came and lived among us, and as he taught and lived with his disciples, as he gathered them around a table, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, we feast at his heavenly banquet. Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means that we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and ask slightly dip it in the cup. And we do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Brandon forward to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you feel led.